aren't you going to ask me what the question
Well,
is?
of course I'm going to ask you what the question is.
Who's the new covenant made with, and where do we find it in the Bible?
Okay, wait a minute. Let me think about it, okay? Let me think about it. You're calling in and you're saying, I just have one simple question. Who is the new... No, what is the new covenant?
No, who's... No, yeah, well, that's right. What is the new... No. No.
Who is the new covenant with?
Who is the new covenant made with, and where do we find it in the Bible?
Thank you. Right. Who is the new covenant made with, and where do you find that in the Bible? And I know the answer. The answer is it's made with the Gentiles, and it's found in the Hebrews book referred to, I mean, it's found in a book referred to in Hebrews written by Paul going back to the Old Testament.
Well, you're close. Paul in Romans 9 says it's back to Isaiah to see that the Gentiles were none other than the descendants of the 10-tribe northern kingdom.
Yes.
That's simple. But see, the answer is, if anybody really heard the truth, who's the new covenant made with? Well, Israel, just like the old covenant.
Right.
Because God never broke the covenant he made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, confirmed it unto Jacob for a law. It's that simple. Almost nobody hears it. They can't answer that question.
God never broke it, but they did, didn't they?
Well, now, see, we're switching tracks here.
Okay, so, thank you. Thank you for correcting.
God did not break it, which means it comes right down to Israel according to the flesh, because that's in Romans 9 also.
Yes.
Got to review some of those last ones, because Romans 9, it's got a lot of intersections of everything in it.
Yeah.
Talks about, you know, Jacob, who I loved, and Esau, who I hated.
Yes.
Yeah, I can sit here. I've been doing this for years, and even though my memory got scrambled, but Romans 9, 3-5. One sentence. Remember how I went over this and over this?
Well, yeah, but let's see.
Romans 9.
Got to find it.
Verse 3-5.
Is it before or after Ephesians?
Before.
Oh, okay. Ta-da.
Right after Acts. It's the first epistle.
Okay. That's interesting right there. It's the first epistle goes to the Romans.
Well, it's going to Israelites in Rome.
Thank you. That's right. Okay, Romans 1, 9 through something?
No, Romans 9.
Romans 9. Romans 9. And what are the verses?
3-5.
3-5. Let me read them. For I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh.
Note that word flesh.
Note that word flesh, meaning the DNA.
Meaning it's Israel according to the flesh, not spiritual Israel.
Right, meaning the actual bloodlines.
Right.
Okay, so he says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption.
Okay, stop, pause. What does that mean to you? What does adoption mean to you? What do you think of when you hear adoption?
Well, that's exactly what I was trying to figure out as I was reading. They are the Israelites pertaining to the adoption.
No. Yeah, well, they're Israelites according to the flesh, to whom pertaineth the adoption.
To whom pertaineth the adoption. Who were there? Okay, so that's like saying these Israelites were adopted.
Well, let's go through all six of them right here.
Okay.
Let me take over.
Yes.
Who are Israelites, semicolon, to whom pertaineth the adoption, comma, and the glory, comma, and the and the giving of the law, comma, and the service of God and the promises. Still no period. This is all one sentence.
Right. Semicolon.
Yeah, if you can understand this sentence, you can start to understand the Bible, but they can't understand it. So, whose are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So let's go backwards. Romans 8, 9. They all teach it. Well, I'm a Gentile, but I was adopted into that everlasting covenant. I'm a spiritual Israelite.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Verse 23, And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's the resurrection, Mona.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with bringing other families of men on the earth into the covenant.
Okay, so this is saying we are adopted by God through our relationship with Christ and our bodies.
No, it isn't. That's present tense.
And our bodies are going to be resurrected.
The redemption is future.
And our bodies will be resurrected through the adoption.
Yeah, that's when we come into full sonship, because
yes.
We're back to the body that God gave Adam, which was flesh, bone, and light.
Yes. Not flesh, bone, and blood.
Right. The blood's gone.
Right.
That's why Christ shed the blood.
Uh-huh.
Right. And of course, Romans is so deep, it's just so hard to teach anybody anything anymore. It's the more you study it, I know that I've got many years in it, you know, it's just that, and I know I can vaguely remember where I was when I began, but I just, look, people, these are summary statements pertaining to the deepest things of God that you can contemplate, that you could even think of.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I mean, this is important.
Yeah, right.
So
I want to clarify this verse that we just talked about. Is it the idea is that Jesus is the only Son of God, but we through adoption become the sons of God?
No.
Okay, what does the term adoption mean if it doesn't mean we're adopted as sons of God?
The adoption means exactly what he said in Romans 8. See, when it says to wit, that means here's the definition. The adoption simply means the redemption of our body, which is the resurrection.
Okay.
Now that's why if you go back earlier in Romans, Romans is so deep. And I was trying to teach it without boring people, and I tried to read it, you know, I read this, you know. Okay, verse 6 in Romans 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life, because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Anyway, see, these chapters are so deep.
Yeah.
But he said, let me find the verse here. Yeah, it's the one I have torn up, so it's hard to read after getting out of the Bible. No, I got it here. No, I'm just skipping through a few verses.
Well, just tell me where you are.
Well, in Romans 8, verse 15.
Okay.
But ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. So there's a spirit of adoption, which is, we enter into eternal life in this life if we believe, but we can't believe until we understand.
Uh-huh.
But we don't have any good teachers out there at all. Yeah?
And the spirit of adoption is the change that occurs in the human being's soul when he leaves being carnal and becomes being spiritual.
Right, conversion.
Yes.
The law of God is perfect and able to convert the soul. So we receive eternal life while we're still in these flesh bodies that die.
And they call it the spirit of adoption.
Well, there's spirit of adoption, and then at the second coming, to both the dead and those who are still alive on the earth, now comes the adoption.
Yes.
That's why I tried to teach Romans 5, Romans 8, and 1 Corinthians 15. I thought that one was one of the better ones I did, but I didn't get any feedback from anybody except the two or three people that I already know. You know, I didn't get any feedback on anything, but, so, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't believe these people can't even figure out. Here's the second, you know, not just who's the new covenant made with and where do we find it in the Bible. What is the truth of the doctrine of the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman? And where do we find that in the Bible?
Right.
Yeah, well, you know, it's, I mean, I'm listening to the most incredible stuff.
Okay, and then those guys that you're calling in, they say, I don't know. And then do they let you tell them?
No.
Right. That's right. So you're only able to get the question out.
Well, the one guy, Brent Allen Winters, who's on the Roger Sales show on Friday, and he wrote his own Bible, and last I heard it was $256.
Uh-huh.
He's an attorney called uh-huh. Brent Allen Winters,
uh-huh.
and he wants $256 for his Bible, and I called uh-huh. him, and I said, who's the new covenant made with, and where do we find in the Bible? And he goes, he lets out this laughing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go there now.
Oh, he says, I'm not going to go there. Okay. Right.
He goes, now. In other words, he leaves the now on there to say, well, I know all about it.
That's
that.
Right.
He doesn't know anything about it.
That's right. That's what he's saying. You know, he says, I know all about it, but we're not going to talk about it. I don't have to answer your silly question.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous question. I know where that's going. I know what they're trying to say. And I've read, you know, Judas Scepter and all that by that Allen guy, and that's a terrible book. I mean, I've read it. It's got a lot of, it's just ambiguous. It doesn't really get to the, it just, you know. So he mentions that one book. Now, this was a few times before. Well, see, I don't believe all that stuff because I don't know my whole genealogy back, so, because I don't know my genealogy.
Yeah.
False doctrine.
Yeah.
See, that's a false conclusion.
Right.
From a narrow-minded man who's been raised in Protestantism all his life and thinks he
right.
doesn't. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's quite a battle. I mean, I hear so many things every day just by going to five or six different places and playing clips here and there. I mean, it's getting to be very taxing.
Well, you know, I see a verse here that does kind of say what I was thinking in chapter 8 of Romans, verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So even though I totally embrace and like your definition of adoption, the theme sort of rises again here.
No, that's the Bible definition. To it means, here's what the adoption
oh,
is.
Oh, I totally agree with you. Yes.
Okay.
And where was that?
Romans 8, 20, in 23.
Okay, hold on. Let's look at that. And, wait, 8, 23.
No, I'm sorry. Wait, hold on one second.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. I got, you know, I'm still using my old Bible here.
Uh-huh.
Well, the spirit of adoption was in, oh, no wonder. I'm not in Romans.
Okay.
Let me get to Romans here. Hold on a second. Yeah, Romans 8, yeah, 23, but the spirit of adoption is Romans 15.
Wait a minute. You mean chapter 15?
No, chapter 8, verse 15.
Okay, hold on.
The adoption is Romans 8, 23.
Okay.
I'll say it again. Spirit of adoption, Romans 8, 15.
Right. That's where he says that you will get the spirit of adoption when you go spiritual. But where is the part where it...
I'm in the present. He says, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. These are converted Christians, he's writing.
Right. Ye have received the spirit of adoption. But where does he define the spirit of adoption?
They were resurrected.
Yes.
They believed the truth and they were going to be resurrected.
But where you had a one verse that you had me read that where it gives you these four or five or six types of...
Nine.
Yes.
That's because the first thing mentioned was the adoption. So we went back to Romans 8 to
yes.
see the fullness of the adoption.
Yeah, so what is the verse in Romans 9 that talks about that?
Well, it actually is verse 3 to 5.
That's right.
All one sentence.
That's right.
It is the most
That's
potent
right.
thing that you could ever read.
That's right. Who are the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came and is over all, God blessed forever. Amen.
Right. So he says in the beginning in verse 3,
yeah.
kinsmen are brethren.
Yes.
For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, there's the flesh, colon. Then it gives the six things that pertain to Israel,
yes,
according
yes,
to the flesh.
Yes.
Then he
encapsulates
it and ends it with whose are the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the true Israelites who came before us, they're our fathers.
Yes.
Of whom, as concerning the flesh.
Yes.
And the whole world is teaching spiritual Israel.
Yes, yes. I get why you're so interested in this verse. This points out, as you said, this answers the question, to whom was the covenant given? And it says right here, the covenant was given to the Israelites who are of the flesh of Abraham. Your question was, who is the covenant made and where do we find it in the Bible? And the answer is that it's made with...
No, the question is, you got to ask it right, who is the new covenant made with? And
yeah.
Where do we find it in the Bible?
Right, and the answer is it's made with the same people the old covenant was made with.
Exactly.
And you find it in Romans 8, I think, where he says...
Romans 9, well, let me explain it this way. The old covenant and the new covenant are two administrations of law over time, which are based on the Abrahamic covenant, which is summarized in Genesis chapter 17, 1 through 8. Abraham, here am I, Lord. And that's when he made the covenant with him, when he was 99 years old, 99.
Yes.
And he said, your name will no longer be Abram, which means exalted father, but it shall be Abraham, because the father of many nations will I make thee. So there's a promise and a prophecy, part of the covenant. And he said, the land of Canaan, I'm going to give you as an everlasting possession. And it was made with Abraham, and here's the key, and thy seed.
Yes.
Right. So when you have the word Zerah, which is seed, that means children and offspring.
Yes.
Right.
And the new covenant is we learn from Paul is made with the Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, and that's chapter 9
right.
of Romans verse 3 and 4.
Yeah, 9 verses 3 to 5, all one sentence.
Right.
And it's not just you have to say it the right way because it's not made with Israel because the whole world believes they're spiritual Israel, thinking they're Gentiles, which is lie, lie, lie.
Right. It's the kinsmen according to the flesh who are Israelites.
My kinsmen, see, because brethren and kinsmen are the same thing.
Yes.
Talking about all those who are the family of Israel, and says as clearly as you can because he says who are Israelites.
That's right.
And that's why, it's beyond belief. Then we've got these wolves in sheep's clothing, like Eli James sent in.
Yes.
And, like right when he's talking to, he talks to these Pharisees. Uh-huh. And, of course, they lie about that, and they say, all the Pharisees were Jews. Well, that's not true. But anyway, they go on, Christ says to them that you lay all these burdens on them, but you won't lift any of it with one of your fingers. They hinder them going in.
Yes.
The devil has sent Eli James in to lie about everything other than the truth that the white race is Israel.
Yes.
That's the only truth the guy tells.
Yes.
Right.
But if he does accept that the Israelites are white, you would think he would be happy to have you make your point here because you're saying the Israelites are the flesh of Abraham.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's being sponsored. This is all set up. He's got a lot of money behind him. He's going here, he goes to England, he goes to South Africa, he goes to these conferences. Mm-hmm. Just a week ago, they were doing their feast of the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to these prisons, and he finds this biker, greasy slob guy, who gets, first it was 13 years, then it got expanded to 15 years, but he's in the federal pen.
Okay.
And this guy's going out, you must keep the law! And what he's saying is, you must keep the law of Moses, which we're not under.
Right.
Right. We're under the new covenant.
Right.
So they're making everybody feel guilty, and Eli James is the ringleader of the whole thing, because that even came out within the last week. Because David James was one of their fellow travelers, you know, and he was doing his shows, and then he got somehow, I don't know who talked to him or what happened, but he started saying that Eli James is a Jew. So they threw him off the network. And, it gets funnier than that. I mean, it just goes on and on with this stuff. So anyway, but you can't see, I can go to their chat rooms, but I just get banned. As soon as I tell any truth, I'd be banned from that guy's chat room. So I don't bother.
Right, I understand that. But I'm just saying that since Eli James admits that the ancient Israelites were white, you'd think he'd let you make this one simple point that the Israelites were of the flesh of Abraham, that this is DNA we're talking about. This is bloodlines.
No, but that, see, it would ruin his whole game, because then I tell him the truth about there's no such thing as a man-ordained office.
Yeah.
James has not only admitted that that's not his real name, but he also admitted that somebody from a white national, Aryan Nations, or KK, I forget, they even named the guy's name, but he ordained Eli.
Sure, sure.
And then Eli broke away from him.
Right.
So the guy who ordained him as a pastor doesn't believe what Eli believes now, according to Eli.
Mm-hmm.
So, wait a minute, but you still continue to put pastor. They say, this is Pastor Eli James.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even a man ordained office in the first place. That's one of the roots of our problem.
Right.
Nobody else is telling this that I can find, Mona.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping there is, and I'm hoping it's this internet censorship. And I'm sure if I could speak French or German and go onto French and German websites, there'd be somebody else probably trying. I don't know. Maybe it's as bad.
Maybe it's as bad as you think it is.
I'm hoping there's a glimmer of light somewhere else in the world.
Right.
They just do not believe the written word of God.
Right.
Which is why they always use, and this is why I know that he's been a stumbling fool, really. I mean, the guy makes so many errors in history and law, everything. But all they do is say, oh, it's a mistranslation.
Yeah.
Mistranslation. No, it isn't.
Well, I can see why people get confused, because the spirit of adoption, although it is clearly defined here as being the resurrection, the word adoption...
The adoption's the resurrection.
Yes, the word adoption is defined here, but it doesn't mean what we generally think by adoption. So unless people read this thoroughly and understand that the Bible defines adoption as resurrection, they're not going to get that. Because to the average person, adoption does not mean resurrection. It means being taken in as a person's child.
Yeah, I'm a Gentile, so I was spiritually adopted into being one of the spiritual Abrahamic covenants, you know.
Right.
I'm spiritually adopted into a spiritual covenant. That's where it goes.
Yes, I'm saying I can see how they make that mistake. It's an easy mistake to make, because the word adoption in the Bible is being used differently than we ordinarily mean adoption.
Well, I only went over it about a couple dozen times.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to, because it does define adoption, but it is a weird definition from our point of view.
Well, because it's too much for one man to do the word studies, pause, turn in the concordance, look up the word, define it, written by man, go back to the scriptures, nobody's going to be awake.
Well, if we did look up the word adoption in the concordance, do you think we would find resurrection, or do you think we'd find being taken in as a family member?
I'm not sure I understand your question, but I mean, I could do that right now.
If we went to the concordance and looked up the word adoption as is used in Romans 8 and 9.
Well, that's why I've got to go to the one that's on the bottom of the pile, because my old expanded Vines dictionary got the A's torn out of it because I fell asleep in my chair one night.
Yeah.
And I stood up without turning the light on, and I never do that, but I did it that night.
Yeah.
And I stepped on the first chapter with the A's, and I fell on my butt, and I tore out the...
Yeah.
And into a mess.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it right now because I'm going to do it from the Vines, you know, the expanded version here of Vines. But, oh, man.
Is that a concordance you're looking at?
Yeah, and they don't use slides. Adoption is only 5 times. And it's only in Matthew, okay. Once in Romans, once in Galatians, once in Ephesians. And it's always 5206. I was trying to get people to get this book and get their nose in it and learn how to use it. I couldn't get anywhere with anyone.
Yeah.
So I'm pissed off all the time. I mean, these men are just lazy. They just are. They're just I don't know.
No. Well, I'm looking it up in the concordance.
Well, so am I. I've got it right here. I'm at 43, 47, 5206. Let me check that, because by the time you find it, yeah, 5206. Now, this is, you know, it's actually pronounced, this is a good one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 syllables. Qui os esia. From a presumed compound of 5207 and a derivative of 5087, the placing as a son.
Yeah.
Eli says, oh, that's a mistranslation. The adoption should never be in there. But that's exactly what Christ is doing to us believers. See, we're already placed as sons in this body. If we're going to enter into eternal life, it has to be in this life. It has to be before we die. I.e., adoption. Figuratively, and I went through this before, I've read this before in it, but it says, figuratively, chronology, sonship in respect to God. Right. Because Adam was son of God, then he lost sonship when they fell. That's when he partook of blood. I went over and over this with Hebrews 1 and 2 and over and over again. I mean, it just...
Okay, so it does mean to be taken in as a son, but the way you do it is through the resurrection.
Well, that's the fullness of it. You're not going to have the immortal body had that Adam had at first.
That's right.
Or they fell. They partook of blood.
That's right.
They partook of blood.
That's right.
He's the second Adam.
Right, so when your body resurrects, you will lose the blood in the body, and it will be filled with light instead of blood.
Right, but still flesh and bone, because it's a body.
Yes, yes.
Right.
And that transformation will be called the adoption, and that's when you will come into your relationship with God in heaven or wherever it is. Yeah.
Oh, here.
Okay.
You know, we both S-B-R. From Huios, a son, in quotes.
Yes, okay. Was and defined it here in Romans.
No, Paul didn't figure it out. It was God who gave it to Paul, because Paul's heart was right with God.
Right. God told Paul.
Figure anything out. There's no humanism in this at all.
Right, right. And so God gave it to Paul, and Paul told us about it in Romans 8 and 9. He defines the adoption.
Apostle means the one sent. God chose Paul, just like the other apostle.
Right, okay.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But in Greek, you know, and we got these hecklers and these laughing clowns, Eli James. Ha, 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 right, right, okay, ha, 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 right. He's always wrong.
Right.
I guess you can laugh your way through it and convince people that you have the joy of Christ in you.
Right. That would be what he's doing, what he's trying to do there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one, well, we got that
is
point.
The place and condition of a son given to one to whom it does not naturally belong, which is right, because in our nature we're fallen.
Right.
We all have to come to repentance.
Right.
Two, the word is used by the Apostle Paul only. Three, in Romans 8:15, believers are said to have received the, quote, spirit of adoption, unquote. That is, the Holy Spirit who, given as the first fruits of all that is to be theirs, produces in them the realization of sonship and the attitude belonging to sons. Now that's kind of, I think I could write that one better than they did. This is only written by men. This is a dictionary. It's written by men. No, what it means is that they're converted.
Right.
That if they stay on that and they endure to the end, they've already overcome. They have the, you know, they have the spirit of adoption. Their body's going to die. And if it dies before Christ comes, they're going to go to heaven. That was the ascension. I went through that carefully, too, the difference between the resurrection and ascension. But Eli was saying, hey, we don't teach you go to heaven. We don't. Yeah, well, Paul did. He said,
yeah.
What about it's far better to go and be with Christ. He was in the strait. He'd been through long battles. He'd been stoned. He'd been beaten with rods. Whipped, thrown into prison.
Yeah.
Naked, buffeted, shipwrecked in the deep. Three times, not just the once that's recorded, but he says day and a half in the deep. Shipwrecked thrice. See, God doesn't record everything. Paul was, you know, I said, well, you know, he's on trial in Rome. He's out of this, too, about how, you know, Paul was not just an ordinary Roman citizen. He was part of nobility.
Uh-huh.
The Romans were actually Israelites anyway, and nobody understands that anymore. And I get mad because Eli brings in some of this history to get credibility, you know, and all that. But, you know, he's read the same one. He's just reading other people's work, which I've read, too, but... Then it goes on. This thing, you know, I mean, it just shows how it's used. Now, they're giving their opinions on what it means, but all it really means is they're converted. They're on a narrow road to eternal life where they will receive the adoption, their immortal body back again. The one that Adam had and lost. And Adam is Adam and Eve, because male and female created them, which proves they were not. Adam's not just one man. Adam's the whole family.
Yes.
And Adam's the progenitor of the family.
Where did you get those sentences that you were reading about that it's only said five times and it means you had a little thing you were reading about the word, the adoption concept?
Well, I was reading the definition. I closed it up, but I can get back there.
No, just tell me, because it's not in the concordance definition. You found it somewhere else.
Well, the concordance is, first of all, the concordance, and then it's the dictionaries.
Well, what's the dictionary? I got Greek Dictionary of the New Testament, 5206, adoption means placing as a son.
Okay, now you're reading from, what's the title on your concordance?
This is Strong's.
Is it the new Strong's?
Well, let me see. Is there a new Strong's?
Yeah.
It's called the exhaustive concordance.
Okay, you've got the original.
Yes.
I've got, and I, at the time, the only, I don't like the new Strong's as much. It's not that there's a whole lot of difference. It's just that I had to buy this new Strong's because it has an expanded dictionary in the back.
Oh, nice. I see. Okay.
Right. So I only got a little way through this.
Yeah.
But that's what it said. It says that hold on a second. Let me get back in the light here.
That must be a heck of a big book, because this is already a real big book.
Oh, you should see how heavy this one is, but it gives me my arm exercise.
Yeah.
Put it back down. That's how I exercise while I'm doing this.
Right.
Okay, well, again, it's hard to say. It's spelled in the, you know, phonetic in the English, H-W-E-E. So let's just say we.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, S-E, not S, there was no T. S-E-A. So we are S-E-A.
Okay.
hard to say, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hui as S-E-A.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right. And so, placing it as a son. So with your regular Strong's, that's exactly what it means. It's placing as a son. That's why we went through John 1. For as many as believed, he gave them power to become sons of God.
Yes.
And Eli says, that shouldn't be in there. Option's no good.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's standing up against this guy. I'm telling you, I'm so burned out with frustration. Let me go back to adoption. I think it was right. See, sometimes in the concordance, when this expanded, aboundeth, aliens, too far, Osiris. Oh, Osiris. Yeah, I have to go into that one, too, because anyway. A, B, A, D, A, D, A, M, all the automas and all that, too, with it, adoption. Hold on. Yeah, they put this new Strong's. I don't know. Can you look? Do you have a concordance? Can you look up adoption? I want to hear what it says.
Yeah, I just had it. Just a second. I can get it for you. 5206, I think it is.
No, it doesn't say. You don't have to go there. Don't bother.
Yeah.
Five times.
Yeah.
It's always in the newer. The word adoption does not appear in the Law and the Prophets, the first 39 books, just Matthew to Revelation, but it's only in three epistles of Paul. And it's three times in Romans, once in Galatians, and once in Ephesians, and it gives the number to the side. It's always 5206.
Right.
I'm at 5206, and I'm trying to figure out where in the world, I just read that, where it says that, wait a minute. Yeah, we read that. It's just sending information only by Paul. I'm looking for that part. I can't find it.
Yeah, you were reading off of something.
Well, see, that's what's nice about the vines. It breaks it down. Okay, the same word. I'm going to try and say it again because I could never. This is one of the few I could never. Quias S-E-A. S-E-A.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
That's a hard one. The placing as a son, i.e. adoption, then parentheses, figuratively, and then as C-H-R, which means chronologically, sonship, in respect to God. So it's translated as adoption three times, adoption of children one time, and adoption of sons one time. It's the same thing.
Right.
It's returning to sonship by faith in Jesus Christ. Who ethos, a son, and thesis, a placing akin to, they give another word, tetimai, to place. See, that's the combination of the words.
Yes.
Son and to place, anyway. Signifies the place and condition of a son given a son. Hold on a second, I'm trying to find it. One place. Oh, yeah, okay, it was, yeah, definition two. I missed it. This is kind of hard to read. I don't have the best light and everything else.
Right.
To see the print, I mean, it's not hard to read. It was in definition two. The word is used by the Apostle Paul only. And then it goes into three. In Romans 8:15, believers are said to have received the, quote, spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption is not the adoption because they weren't resurrected.
Well, I think Paul says they were.
No, in spirit, inside, they're converted.
Right.
But their resurrection doesn't occur till the second coming of Christ.
Oh, I get it. What you're saying, the spirit of adoption is not the same as the actual adoption that only comes in.
Exactly, and that's right. Why they're teaching that, you know, Eli teaches that he's always trying to change everything into what it isn't. And he teaches soulfully. He said, well, if I die, I'll just go into suspended animation. I'll awake into the resurrected body.
Yeah.
Well, conscious existence doesn't leave. No, you ascend to be with Christ if you're in Christ. You don't go to hell. Those
uh-huh.
who are not in Christ, all your atheists, agnostics, those who cheat, you know, who, those that choose to let men deceive them.
Yes.
Right. They don't follow the command. Let no man deceive you. So that's why I have to study this book to see if these commentaries are right, and I found that they're not right. That's why we're in the mess we're in. In Romans 8:15, believers are said to have received the spirit of adoption, that is, the Holy Spirit, which is true, given as the first fruits. Now, he's using, that's why I object, because Christ is the first fruits, because Christ is the only one resurrected.
So you, now you're reading from the back of your concordance in the Dictionary Expanded, right?
Right, I'm in 5206.
Okay.
Expanded.
Nice. Yeah. But you disagree with the writer. Okay, I appreciate that.
Well, I'm just saying that these are written by men, and they get things wrong.
That's
Strong,
right. That's right.
Man, you know, James Strong was a dispensationalist, too.
Uh-huh.
That's what's so hard to teach these people, is just because I've got great articles about Bible versions, and the modern versions are correct. The original ones are incorrect. The original ones are correct.
Yeah.
And so, but just because they can know everything about the translators and all the crap that went on from 1881 till now, which is not a long period of time, just because they can get that right doesn't mean they understand the Bible.
Now, where is the words where Paul says, to wit, and then he defines the adoption?
That's Romans 8, verse 23.
Okay. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Our body.
And that's the very important part, that where he defines the term adoption as he's using it.
Right. It's extremely important, because
yes.
That's why I used a lot of, you know, Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians 15, and also the blessed of the first resurrection in Revelation 20. Because they're caught up in the clouds, we went to 1 Thessalonians 4. Remember, I mean, I know you probably haven't listened to them for, you know, but, and I remember we were talking, and I knew you didn't understand it at the time.
That's
and
right.
Reading it.
That's right.
Committing the mind to it, you know, it's not, I just thought I explained it pretty well. And
you did.
Because that's what I mean. It's just Adam was immortal. But we're of Adam, and we're not immortal. We're mortal.
Uh-huh.
That's what this is all about, the restoration to Adam before the fall.
Yes. When his body was flesh, bone, and light.
Right, and 13, explanation of the parable of the wheat and the tares. Remember that at all? I mean,
I didn't understand that he was talking about the flesh, the bone, and the light.
Yeah, well, I kind of emphasized that for a while there, but I know, because each word is, it just gets so deep that
people, right.
But Matthew 13, well, I won't read the parable, but
well, just tell me, which would you, I got it open to Matthew 13.
Okay, Matthew 13, the parable's 24 to 30. I'm
okay.
Turning there myself.
Okay. Kingdom of heaven is like a sowed good seed in the field.
Now read it real slow.
All right. All right. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, therein appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and told unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat unto my barn.
Okay. That's seven verses, and seven's a number for divine completion. So that's the full parable. Now, he gives another one. We skip by because he's still teaching the multitude. And then we go read verse 36. This is the intro to the explanation.
Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the...
Real slow.
He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the world, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and which do iniquity.
And them which do iniquity.
And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Shine forth as the sun, resurrected body, flesh, bone, and light, just like the body that Christ showed them in Luke 24 when he visited them that time and they were afraid, thought they saw a spirit.
Yes.
They said, Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Fear not, handle me.
Yes.
See that I have flesh and bone. A spirit hath not flesh and bone.
So when after the bad guys have been put into the furnace, the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And
that's the parable. That's why you have to go back and forth. Sir, you know, he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them.
Yes.
Let both grow together until the harvest. Now he said the harvest is the end of the age, because that world is 165 age in verse 39. So you got to compare them back and forth.
Well, I see, mine says the end of the world. Does yours say, does it say end of the age somewhere else?
No, the word world there is 165, because world is translated from different words.
Yes.
It can be oikomene, it can be aeon, it's aeon.
Uh-huh,
here,
I see.
Age.
Okay,
right.
Okay.
Or it
yeah.
can be cosmos, which okay. is orderly arrangement. I'm just saying that's
yeah.
me here.
Yeah.
That's why I went through that in Matthew 24. He uses all the three main translations for the word world in the Mount Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24. But listen. But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares. The pre-tribulation rapture people can't explain this. Because the tares...
No, they can't, because they don't understand the resurrection.
No. And then he says, "As therefore in verse 40, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world."
Yes.
Right. So they're going to be, it doesn't mean that they go in, you know, that they're annihilated. They're going to be in hell in torment.
Right.
For the all soul goes with them.
Right.
I mean, they are the soul. The body just, you know, it's not just the burning of the bodies or anything else or death. No,
right.
they're going to be in hell.
Right.
And
right.
So.
But the wonderful point that you're making is that the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, which proves your point that the resurrection means you lose your blood and you get filled with light.
Well, that's right. That's why Christ spilled the blood.
Yes.
He partook of blood, which means he didn't have it at first. He partook of it as the children did also. That's
yes.
the fall of Adam.
Yes.
They
yes.
didn't have blood until they committed that sin.
Right.
Right. No, it's just, it really is just amazingly simple. But it's just so baffling that all these scholars don't really understand it.
Because it is not amazingly simple. It's very, very complex.
Not after you've done it 30, 40, 50 times.
That's right.
And go over it. it and go over it and make sure you got it.
Oh, yes. It's amazingly clear. That's right.
I know.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I'm going to do this. I'm going to put all my heart and soul into it, even though my body's not ready for it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to do it because I'm going to expose Eli James and talk about all the ridiculous lies he tells.
Right.
I'm going to ask questions of the men out there. Mm-hmm. Is this what you really want to believe? Eli James says, oh, yeah, well, the thousand-year reign of Christ has already been, you know, fulfilled in the past. Revelation 20. Remember we talked about this about a million times?
Well, you're talking about this guy's a historicist, right?
He's a preterist.
Preterist, right.
He calls himself an historicist, but
right.
He's a preterist.
Right.
I can give you example after example, but the guy didn't know anything. He really didn't. And he was talking with David James, and they were going through Romans 9. Now, we only started with 3 to 5, but back in Romans 9, nobody's doing this that I can find, Mona.
Yeah, and, I know that, Keith. That's why I grabbed
you. I mean this one. Romans 9, 24 to 26.
Yeah.
And he's reading through this with this David James, who just got thrown out of their camp because he said, I think Eli James is a Jew.
Right, right.
Verse 24, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles.
Right.
As he saith also in Hosea. Now that's a Greek transliteration for the prophet Hosea. Hosea.
Okay.
And even all the mainstream scholars, you know, mainstream church, they agree on that. But David James says, Hosea, I think that's in the Bible somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And Eli James goes, yeah, it's in the Bible. Well, let's read on.
Yeah.
That's what Eli James said. I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now that's the passage. But they read on, and it says, Isaias. Okay, that's Greek transliteration for Isaiah. So right away, David James thinks he hears the truth. He said, oh, yeah, we'll see. That must be Isaiah. And Eli James says, yeah. No, that's a new passage starting at 27. We're only looking at these three verses. So we go back to Hosea. And verse 25 is exactly from Hosea chapter 2, verse 23. And verse 26 is exactly from Hosea 1, verse 10.
Uh-huh.
And I went carefully through the whole passage to prove, and the whole world does not understand this, and I can't get it out, but the Gentiles that Paul was preaching to were descendants of the 10 tribe, northern kingdom of Israel.
Right.
They were Israelites according to the flesh.
Right.
Right. Great. Well, I don't believe in predestination. I'm not talking predestination. I'm saying Adam was created in Genesis 1. These fools all have Adam being created in Genesis 2, verse 7.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so God formed for Adam out of the clay and breathed into his nostrils, and Adam became a living soul, and they think that's the creation. No, Adam was now living on the earth in a body. Adam was already created.
That's right.
But Job 20, verse 4 said, no, not this of old, since man was placed on earth. And that word man is 120. It's Adam. He was placed on earth.
Yes.
Body was not the creation. That was a formation of existing material. It was not fiat creation.
Right.
Right. That's why Christ showed the resurrection body in Luke 24. Flesh, bone, and light. Handle me, see that I have flesh and bone. A spirit hath not. Flesh and bone. I'm going to monitor what Eli James is teaching because they're all in it. They're all just, you know, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's a mess. I mean, the guy's so much in this. They all think they're pastors.
Yeah.
Yeah. I looked them all up. I mean, Paul talks about their mouths must be stopped. He talks about in Galatians, if anyone comes with any other doctrine, let them be accursed.
Yeah.
Talks about in Timothy about Jamis and Hymenaeus and, you know, he names the false doctrine they're teaching.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it right here. Paul names Hymenaeus and Philetus as examples of heretics and names their heresy, which is that the resurrection is past already.
Oh, that's in the subtitle next to the recording,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, April 11th, 2013, you did that.
Right. Wow, April 11th, yeah.
2013.
I know.
Yeah, right.
But there's so many more.
I know.
Everything that Christ said, you know?
Yeah.
So let no man deceive you by any means.
Right.
Well, the only way you can do that is to know the Bible so that
yes.
you can catch them in their lies.
Yes, that's right.
All right, Mahono.
Okay, thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thank you. It's been great. Bye-bye.